Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News. It's 5 p.m. You're listening to Breakthrough News, and this is The Punch Out. We're following the news all day so you don't have to, giving you everything you need to know about what's in the headlines and what should be. And yes, we are back here on The Punch Out, 20th of May, 2022. Very happy to be back with you here on the show, and plenty for you here on the show, as we always do. We're going to be talking about how mass incarceration, or one of the ways mass incarceration massively affects families here in the United States. But before we get to that, very important story, we want to talk about inflation, interest rates, and whether or not it will lead to a recession and how bad it might be. Almost every major economic commentator is now predicting a recession in the United States in the second half of the year. Now, we, of course, have been predicting something like that here in The Punch Out for almost all of 2021, so it does feel good to have some company. The immediate reason behind the fears of recession are directly related to the Federal Reserve's approach to inflation, which is raising interest rates. It's no secret inflation is plaguing the U.S. and making it more difficult for millions to make ends meet. In the last 12 months, inflation has increased 8.3%, while wages have only increased 5.5%. So clearly inflation is a problem, and it's straining budgets in a major way. The Federal Reserve is using their main method for dealing with inflation, something of a blunt force instrument, as we mentioned before, that is raising interest rates. This is sometimes also referred to as, quote, draining liquidity, end quote, from the economy. Raising interest rates means making it more expensive to borrow money. And since the economy essentially runs on credit, making it more expensive to borrow money means that the overall economy is going to shrink as people are less likely to lend or borrow money for new or expanded ventures. How does this affect prices? Well, more or less, since everyone has to be more discriminating with their money and the overall market is smaller, to remain competitive, the price has to be right, so to speak. For instance, a company might have to internalize a slightly increased cost rather than pass it on to you. So, bottom line, raising interest rates to defeat inflation more or less means forcibly making the economy smaller to reduce inflation, or if you prefer, inducing a recession. So that's why so many people are confident there will be a recession, because Fed Chairman Jerome Powell has been doing the media rounds, noting that there will be increased interest rate hikes as the year goes on, and warning in his words that this will involve some quote-unquote pain. There are two questions that flow from this. A, how much pain? And B, if this blunt force trauma approach is really the most logical way of approaching the issue of inflation. Now, in terms of how much pain might be caused, the idea that, as Powell has been saying, that there may not be much of a recession at all, just a slight one, is a very rosy scenario. In fact, as we've been pointing out for over a year, the warning signs are all over the economy, suggesting that the Fed's interest rate hike moves could knock down some serious dominoes. When you raise interest rates, companies that are struggling to pay their debts are likely to go under. There's a phrase for companies in the most precarious position with debt that are the most at risk if interest rates go up, and they're called zombie companies. According to a report from the Federal Reserve itself, 10% of publicly traded companies are zombie companies, and 5% of private companies are zombie companies. And these aren't just random off-brand companies. For instance, in 2020, the ranks of zombie companies included Boeing. On top of that, zombie companies in the U.S. owe at least $2 trillion, more than even at the height of the 2008 crisis. That's a pretty ominous situation. And you also have to ask, who loaned them that money? How interconnected are those banks and lending institutions with other companies? I mean, one major bank lending to too many failing companies, or quite frankly, just lending too much money to one failing company, can bring down whole operations and endanger even healthy companies. And by the way, there are some signs that this could in fact be the case. For instance, in the repo loan market, one of the most central loan markets for the overall global economy, has had trillions of dollars pumped into it by the Federal Reserve in the past couple years. In fact, in the fall of 2019, before the pandemic, the Fed had to pump $9 trillion in just a few months into the repo market. And in fact, they have created an entirely new program as of last year to facilitate the pumping of as much as $500 billion a day into the repo loan market. So ask yourself, if the Federal Reserve is routinely having to prop up one of the most major loan markets out there, what does that say? Well, obviously that there are all sorts of bad bets just sloshing around in there, just the type of thing that interest rate hikes might turn into a disaster. Further, as the Wall Street Journal reported late last year, record sums in borrow money, at least, and in fact, since the time they've reported this, it's almost certainly more, $814 billion has been spent by stock speculators, which was, quote, up 49% from 1 year earlier, the fastest annual increase since 2007 during the frothy period before the 2008 financial crisis. And before that, the last time investor borrowings had grown so rapidly was during the dot-com bubble in 1999. So yes, that's right. People are borrowing money to play on the stock market at a rate that has never been seen since the 2008 financial crisis and the 2000 dot-com crisis. So again, pretty ominous, right? Doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that the economy is fragile and that big rate hikes could send a lot of these risky bets tumbling down. And that could take a lot of other stuff down with it. And before you know it, we could be in a full-blown economic crisis. And guess who's going to be asked to foot the bill for all these too-big-to-fail institutions if that happens? Now, the second question I raise, is it worth it? Is this the right way to approach it? Also an important question. There's a lot to that, but at base, it really depends on what's causing inflation to determine what would be most effective and least destructive. As we've noted before on this show, a recent analysis from the Economic Policy Institute made a very notable finding about our inflationary times. That is, that the biggest contributor to inflation is corporate profits. The Economic Policy Institute analysis, put together by the head of research there, Josh Bevins, looked at price increases from the second quarter of 2020 until the end of the year of 2021. And the analysis found that 53.9% of the price increases were due to fatter corporate profit margins, 38% to non-labor input cost, that's the supply chain more or less, and only 8% to wages. So just to underscore what that means, out of every dollar prices go up, about 54 cents goes to pad corporate profits, about 38 cents goes to deal with supply chain issues, and about 8 cents goes to increasing wages. So, bottom line here, to keep profits high, corporations are increasing prices well above their increased cost, and then just telling the world prices are higher because of the quote-unquote supply chain and wages. That's important because it speaks to another way to address inflation without tanking the economy, an excess or windfall profits tax. If corporations have to pay higher taxes on these big profits they're making, they will be far less likely to increase prices as fast as they have been, helping to curtail inflation, but not the economy. Sounds pretty good, right? But note how there is really not much of a chance at all that anything like this could actually happen. Certainly couldn't pass Congress. So there you have it. That's U.S. capitalism and their bought and paid for politicians for you. They cause the inflation crisis, then decide to fix it in the way most harmful to you and least harmful to them. It's widely known that mass incarceration in the United States has a devastating effect on families. But when you look at it by the numbers, the facts are astounding. 50% of women in prison are mothers, and 80% of women in jail are mothers. So off the bat, a majority of women imprisoned at any given time are mothers, and roughly 150,000 mothers were separated from their children this past Mother's Day due to being in prison. One study of women incarcerated in New York State found that 75% of women were the primary caregivers for their children just before their arrest, giving you an even greater sense of how devastating the impact of mass incarceration is on families. It's also worth noting that when you look at the percentages, at least 55,000 women arrested in jail this year will be pregnant. The impact on children of having their mothers incarcerated is very significant. Studies show that these impacts commonly include traumatic loss, marked with feelings of social stigma and shame and trauma-related stress, more mental health problems and elevated levels of anxiety, fear, loneliness, anger, and depression, difficulty meeting basic needs since one of their primary caregivers is in prison or jail, problems getting enough sleep and maintaining a healthy diet, and lower educational achievement, impaired teacher-student relationships, and more problems with behavior, attention deficits, speech and language, and learning disabilities. The majority of women in jails and prisons are there for drug and property offenses, these quote-unquote crimes that are heavily linked to poverty and substance abuse. Many women convicted of even quote-unquote violent crimes are in fact being criminalized for defending themselves against abuse. So all of this destruction is being levied on families, mainly for crimes related to the social problems of our society, not any sort of real public safety measures. As we've said before, there are a myriad of reasons why mass incarceration is a scourge on the country, but count this as one of the biggest ones. That's the punch out for today. We're with you Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. here in New York, East Coast Standard Time, 2 p.m. in Los Angeles, Pacific Standard Time, and 9 p.m. GMT. And of course, you can support everything we do here at Breakthrough News at patreon.com/breakthroughnews. It's your patronage that keeps all of our offerings here at Breakthrough News moving forward. And of course, you can check us out across all your social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at BT Newsroom.